Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is the gospel lesson of the day. It is Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 33. That same day, some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him. They asked him a question. Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without having children, his brother should marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one died after he married her, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. It was the same with the second brother, the third, and all the way to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. So then, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since they all married her? You are mistaken, Jesus replied, since you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. In fact, in the resurrection, people neither marry nor are given in marriage. Instead, they are like the angels of God in heaven. And concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you never read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard his answer, they were amazed at his teaching. This is our text. Dear people of God, all of the political parties in Israel hated Jesus. Jesus did not join a one of them because none of them understood his thinking on the kingdom of God. They all would have liked Jesus to be on their side, but none of their thinking worked with Jesus' heavenly mindset. There were the Pharisees. They were the holy men of the day. They were the conservatives. The Pharisees were the rabbis. They desperately wanted Jesus on their side, but as we've seen, Jesus wanted nothing to do with these hypocrites. In fact, the word Pharisee in our day still means someone who looks all holy, but their heart is rotten. Then there were the Herodians, and you can tell by their name, they were people who were loyal to King Herod, and the ones who gave Herod his power, that's the Romans. The Herodians liked the little bit of power that they were allotted, and so they wanted nothing to rock the ship. The Zealots hated the Herodians, and they hated the Romans. The Zealots were the freedom fighters of the day, or the terrorists, depending on your point of view. And then there were the Sadducees, who were the smallest of the political parties, but the most influential. For the Pharisees had in their ranks the high priest, and they controlled the Sanhedrin. The Sadducees controlled the temple worship, and they were the rich people. They were the one percenters. The Sadducees were also the liberals of the day. They did not care for most of Scripture. They only held to the first five books of the Old Testament, the books that Moses wrote. The rest they considered to be like fairy tales. They did not believe in the existence of angels, nor did they believe, as Matthew tells us here, in the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Pharisees had just been rebuked by Jesus. The Sadducees too, but Jesus had mainly been rebuking Pharisee ideas. He told them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God ahead of them. He told them that they were the wicked farmers who had come to a wicked end. And the Sadducees saw all this, for they were also there in the temple on Tuesday of Holy Week. And as the Sadducees were getting ready to take their shot at Jesus, they were doing so also in rebuke of the Pharisees. See, the Sadducees hated the Pharisees just a little less than they hated Jesus. And so as they take their question up to Jesus, they do so with one eye on the Pharisees, saying, hey, fellas, hold our beer. We'll show you how to shut up somebody who's trying to be a smart aleck. And so they bring their question to Jesus. Now their question had been handed down to them from past generations of Pharisees. It was a question that had never failed to flabbergast any smart aleck who was trying to bring up the idea of the resurrection of the dead. Now, you heard their question. Let me give you a little background on the question. This is what Moses actually wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 25. When brothers live together, and one of them dies without having children, the wife of the deceased brother is not to marry a stranger from outside the family. Her brother-in-law is to come and take her as his wife and perform for her the duty of a brother-in-law. The firstborn that she bears will be recognized as a son who carries on the name of his deceased brother. So his name will not be erased from Israel. Now, if you notice, Moses only mentioned there two brothers. Also, Moses is talking about the land of Israel and who gets its inheritance. He's also talking about the family line of the Savior to keep the family straight. He's not at all talking about heaven at this time. But let's follow the Sadducees just a little and answer their question. What is the answer? Whose wife would she be? If you think about it, I come up with three possibilities. First of all, maybe the first brother would have first dibs at her because he was first. The second brother also has a legal claim if you really look at these words of Moses. And then possibly the seventh brother, because he was the last one to be her husband. But you see what happens? The question gets the crowd arguing with each other, trying to answer a question that you could never possibly answer. And so it absolutely ruins any serious discussion of the resurrection that a person might be having. Now, Jesus, of course, does not fall for their little scheme. Jesus rather comes right at them. You are mistaken. You are in error. Now, I am amazed at the restraint that Jesus shows here. He does not come right out and condemn these Sadducees to hell. Rather, he walks with them. He tries to explain how they are in error, and he even uses scripture to try to save them. And what is their error? Well, Jesus tells us, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Now let's deal with that second problem first of all. They did not know the power of God. Well, how so? The Sadducees believed that there was a God. They did believe that God had power. And I think most people in our day would say the same thing. But just like the people today, the Sadducees did not give God all glory and the credit that he is due. They did not believe that God wrote all of the scriptures. Why? Well, evidently they didn't believe that God had power to tell each of all those prophets what to write down in all of the Old Testament. They did not believe in the existence of angels. Why? Well, evidently they didn't believe that God had power enough to make those beings and then give him some of his power to take care of his people. And they did not believe in the resurrection. Why? Well, evidently, again, they did not believe that God had power to take the dust that we turn into after death and reassemble all people for a glorious resurrection. See, the Sadducees sold God's power short. Can God be in the water of baptism? Can Jesus' body and blood really be in with and under the bread and wine of Holy Communion? Most people of our world and most Christian churches would say no. But this is one of the great joys of being Lutheran. Lutherans let God be God and we let man be man. Man cannot save himself. And so we don't try. We let God be our Savior. So also we believe that God has all power. He can do whatever he wants to do. And if the Lord wants to be in this little bit of bread and little bit of wine that Jesus calls his body and blood, well, then he can do that. It doesn't matter to us that it doesn't make any sense and is totally impossible. God said it, and I believe it. That's enough for me. For that is the power of God. The Sadducees also did not know the scriptures. Now here, Jesus did not quote Job or Jonah or Isaiah like he could have. Those books that the Sadducees had no time for, did not believe was scripture, even though it certainly is. No, Jesus quoted from Moses. Jesus quoted from the book that the Sadducees liked, the book of Exodus, where Moses was talking to God as God appeared in the burning bush. The Lord had told Moses to take off his sandals and not come any closer. And he said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, as Moses was standing there, Abraham had been in his tomb for 500 years. And yet the Lord says, I am the God of Abraham. Why can he say that? Because the Lord's people live with God forever. Or as Jesus already said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never perish. Those who believe in the true God, even though they die in this world, live with Jesus forever. If the Sadducees had known the scriptures and had known the power of God, they wouldn't have asked such a stupid question, whose wife will she be? People are not married in heaven. We are married on earth. You don't get married in heaven. You don't get older in heaven. You don't play golf. For we will be like the angels. We do not turn into angels. You do not get to come back here to earth to watch over your family or anything like that. That's Jesus' job. That's the job of his actual angels. No, we will be like angels in this one way, in that we will not be married. Now, some of us have a hard time with this idea because we like our spouses. And we would like to be married to our spouses in heaven. We think that would give us joy. And thank God for that. If your spouse gives you joy in this world, that means that your marriage is working the way the Lord intended. For the Lord created marriage to bless his people on this earth so that we can travel together before we get into heaven. In heaven, however, the Lord has prepared for us joys that he can't tell us about now. Joys that are beyond our comprehension. All he says is, it's worth it. What he has prepared for you is worth whatever you have to endure in this world. In heaven, our joy will not come from each other. It will come from God himself, where we will see God. And we won't see him as we're cowering in the corner either. We will see him as we stand in front of him, for we are made worthy in the Lamb himself. We will have put on immortality. We shall have his perfection. We will be in his glory. We will be fixed in that glory. Again, like the angels. We will not be able to sin. We will not change. We will get to look at Jesus in wonder. And after you have stared in Jesus in amazement for a while, you will realize that a million years have gone past and it won't matter at all, because you still have all of eternity to wonder at God and to stand in his glory and splendor. The Sadducees knew nothing of heaven, which is fine. They were not going to go there anyway. And yet so many fools talk this same way yet today. Oh, I'm going to go to hell and be with my friends. Yeah, you are. But it won't be nearly as much fun as you imagine it to be. So also the world has the wrong idea about heaven. The world's caricature of heaven is that it is a place of rules and no fun, where all the Christians have to stand in choir formation with stiff, itchy shirts as we stand there being forced to sing songs. But again, as usual, the world's theories are all wrong. In heaven, I will get to be with Jesus. And that's enough for me. Where will you be? Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.